Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Radio for believers in action.
Well, how did your afternoon start? Well, I must tell you, mine started off with a bang. And not just my afternoon, but my morning. Good afternoon, Radio Pulpit family and friends. Welcome to the ULG, the Ultimate Lifestyle Guide magazine show, the place where your afternoon just got a whole lot brighter. Now, I'm your host, Cheryl Moodley, and do we have an incredible show lined up for you today? So whether you're stuck in traffic, winding down at your office because some of you are still working, or just chilling at home, we're here to transform your afternoon with the best hits, inspiring stories, and some really fun conversations. What has been the highlight of your past week? Now, we have a fantastic lineup today, as I said. And I'm going to fill you in on exactly who they are by reading their bios to you. We have some inspiring music, some thoughtful discussions, and these guests that are joining me today are very special guests. So stay tuned as we explore what it means to live a life of faith in today's world. All right, so while you think about your highlights, let's dive into some amazing music. And here's a track that's sure to put even more sunshine into your day. And that is Overflow by Tasha Cobbs. Are you overflowing today? Think about it.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the Broadcasting Code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Get in touch with the truth, the light, and the life. 657 AM.
Yes, and that was Tasha Cobbs taking us into the bio of Pastor Cindy Postman. And the song that you just heard was Overflow. Now, Pastor Cindy embodies both professional excellence and a passionate commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. She began her career at the Special Investigations Unit and built a respected reputation in forensic investigations. Alongside her professional journey, she faithfully served God's people in various capacities long before her ordination, walking in obedience to the Lord's call. Answering that call, Cindy was ordained as a minister of the gospel and now serves as senior pastor of Rain Church in Bloemfontein, where she leads with vision, faith, and grace alongside her husband. Her heart for justice and freedom has also led her to spearhead Walk for Freedom initiatives in Colesberg and Bloemfontein in partnership with the A21 Foundation, mobilizing communities and raising awareness in the global fight against human trafficking. Today, Pastor Cindy continues to merge her investigative expertise with her pastoral mandate, breaking chains of oppression and declaring the hope of Christ. A lifelong learner with a deep love for the word and prayer, she is passionate about equipping the next generation to rise in identity, purpose, and power, fully alive in Christ.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
We played for you You Fight For Me by Mahalia Buchanan. And if you have not heard any of Mahalia Buchanan's songs, please look her up and listen to her music. It's absolutely profound. The lyrics are beautiful. And we thank God that we can have people that are putting out these amazing lyrics. And so we just give God glory for that. Now, we have in studio, well, not in studio, we are on the line with Pastor Cindy Postman, and I've read her bio to you, and she is a woman of note in terms of what she's doing. She's in the ministry, plus she's advocating against human trafficking, and it's amazing how she's using a special investigative skills and talents and expertise to actually help. And we had a lovely conversation about what she does and where she is at this stage in her life. And we thank God for women like her that is willing to fight for the rights of people. But not only that, but to be able to use what God has given her and where she is now to bring restoration to lives as God uses her as an instrument. Pastor Cindy, welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Cheryl. It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
You're welcome. And on that note, Pastor Cindy has lost her dad, and we just want to pay our special condolences on behalf of Radio Pulpit and the ULG to you, Pastor Cindy, and your family. And we know, like you said, he's in a better place. And that's one consolation we have, is that when we go to be with the Lord, it is such a glorious place to be at.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pulpit family.
You're welcome. Well, Pastor Cindy, when I spoke to you on the phone, I must say I had goosebumps hearing what you are busy with and how God is using you in terms of when it comes to human trafficking. But before we go there, I just want you to please tell us very quickly about your journey in terms of how did you come to be in the ministry and be ordained as a senior pastor of Rain Church in Bloemfontein.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for that privilege and honor. So I actually had my first encounter with the Lord when I was 16 years old. You know, just that eldest grandchild being taken to church by their grandmother, my grandparents and my own parents. So I was always the one having to accompany everybody to church. But that didn't make me a Christian automatically, right?
Yes.
And I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit with the Lord when I was 16 years old, when I attended my uncle's ordination.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it was always, honestly, just like a drawing by the Spirit of God. I went to study in the Free State, and there again, I continued having encounters with the Lord. And then I really just committed my life to the Lord after a lot of life happened and so forth. And I was now at the age of 23 years old. And I moved back to the Free State from the Eastern Cape. I'm from East London.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a single mom, two daughters. And I moved to the Free State, to Bloemfontein, with my two girls. And mm-hmm. I remember my grandmother saying, and my family saying, you find a church, you get planted in the local church, because that is where you'll find family.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I did. And from there, I got involved in the life of church, registered for Bible school. And the reason why I registered for Bible school was so that I could actually intentionally set aside time and focus on the Word.
Wow.
And that was my reason.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, may his soul rest in peace, he's an ex-headmaster, school principal.
Mm-hmm.
And he also went into the ministry after that. So he also was involved with prison ministry in the Eastern Cape.
Wow.
But for example, just a life lived of loving God and loving people was displayed through his life, right?
Mm.
And that was something that I always saw. I saw it modeled. And, for example, we would go to what was then called the Model C schools, but then live in an area with my grandmother, or you'll take me there after school, and then be exposed to different people, all walks of life. And also, like at school, for example, we were literally the first non-whites in the school in 1992. There were five of us. There were five of us in the school. And so there it was like, what is the Lord doing? And in hindsight, I look at all of that and how my parents both played a role in raising me like that and being exposed to abject poverty, but also then on the other side as well, you know? And growing up like that, absolutely getting a love for people, really loving people intentionally. And being, seeing injustices happen and just being, let it grip your heart and pull on your heartstrings, for example. And at church, I then continued serving in different spheres. For example, I was involved in the street ministry, and that was ministering to ladies of the night who'd find themselves there. And that's where I learned that so often we find ourselves judging women or people that are finding themselves in such situations, but also I realized actually they are being exploited.
Yes.
And at that point in time, I was a young investigator, forensic investigator working for the Special Investigating Unit.
Mm-hmm.
That was previously called the Heath Commission, headed up by Judge Heath. But then later on, you know, I moved to the Free State, like I've mentioned, and when I was involved in the church, I got involved in different areas. I was doing, I was part of the media team. I was running a cell. Anything my hands could find to do, I did, you know. And then my husband, I met my husband while I was serving the Lord. And I always said to people, you know what, the Lord was working on him and the Lord was working on me separately. Mm. He had the call of God in his life, like an audible call of God in his life. I was just finding myself serving God, serving the church, serving God's people in whatever capacity it was. And I'm telling you, Cheryl, it was absolutely God-ordained in, wow, in how the Lord would give me insight. He would give me grace. I would not be tired. I had to stay in nanny while I had the two girls alone. And I'd go to cell. The girls would go with me. I'll take them back, back home at about 9 o'clock. And then 10 o'clock, we'll be out on the street from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. And then after that, 7 o'clock, I'll be back at work.
Wow.
You know, I would not even be tired that day. It'd just be supernatural. And how many of those girls' lives we touched, we led into the Lord, explained their worth. But there, that's where I heard these stories, you know, that we're going to discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
But just in terms of the calling, so my husband had a calling on his life. And before, well, during the process of him being ordained and, you know, interviewed and so forth, they called me in. They were like, the pastors called me in and they were like, listen, you've been involved so long. Has the Lord spoken to you? I was like, I'm just serving in the vineyard. This is what I'm doing. I'm finding whatever my hands are finding to do. Loving God, loving his people.
Yes.
And then later on, then the Lord said, feed my sheep.
Wow.
Feed my sheep. And that's when I got ordained with my husband. We were ordained together through Rhema Family of Churches. And we planted the church last year in Bloemfontein.
That sounds so wonderful. That sounds amazing. Yeah. If I can ask you, how did you meet your husband?
Okay. So my husband lives, my husband's grandmother lived right next door to my grandmother.
Oh, okay. Neighbors.
Yes. And my maternal grandmother and my paternal grandparents lived across the street.
So how interesting is that?
My dad and my mom lived across the street from each other, and my husband's dad lived next door to my mom's parents.
Wow.
But we actually never ever operated in the same circles. I would just see him now and again, but I knew that this was Uncle Kenny and Auntie Rhoda's son, Ian. And we just greet each other. And then we, when he met the Lord and really became on fire for the Lord, we were Facebook friends, and then I was as well. And then that's when we started chatting on Facebook, 2008.
Oh, that is so powerful. Now, you mentioned, Pastor Cindy, that you were a single mom with two girls. And here's a question that I want to ask. And most families go through this, and most couples at least go through this. How did you adapt with having to be a single mom with two daughters and then meeting your husband? What were his thoughts on accepting the girls into his life?
So it was challenging, but I think just in terms of being planted in a local church and having people around you to count for you, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And at the end of the day, my girls were very young. So they were able to be molded. But I also explained to them, you know what, before you are my children, I've dedicated you to the Lord.
Amen.
And He will protect you, and He's your Father, you know. And then when Ian came into our lives, obviously there were changes that had to take place, but it had to start with me. It had to start with me submitting, you know. So much so that I was re-water baptized by him, not because of any requirements of such, but because of my submission towards him and showing, okay, you are now the head of my home. I'm not now a single mother. We are bringing you in, you know, and embracing that as well. But I must say, my family was supportive. My grandmother's wisdom, absolute wisdom in everything. I would just phone her for anything and she'd give me wisdom into the situation. So I must say, I had amazing support around me in terms of that.
Yeah. No, that's powerful. I love the wisdom part of it, because it does take a lot of wisdom. And the Bible says if we want wisdom, we need to ask the Father. And so what you did was not just out of wisdom itself, but pure submission to your husband. Because the Bible doesn't say we must submit to our partners, as in boyfriends and girlfriends and all of that. It says we need to submit to our husbands.
Absolutely.
And so that is powerful. And that's where people tend to also misconstrue what the Word of God says when they talk about submission, which
Absolutely.
Is something we need to clarify.
Yeah.
And so you worked in the Special Investigations Unit. What was your role there?
So even that's a testimony, hey?
Oh,
even
let's hear
that
it.
Is an absolute testimony. I was sitting one day reading the newspaper, and there was an advert, and they were looking for trainee forensic investigators to actually come and write an exam. And I looked at the newspaper and I said to my granny, oh, I'm going to work here. And she just looked at me. She shook her head. I remember her shaking her head. I don't know if she thought I was going to have to be like this policewoman. And I don't know if she thought that in her mind. In any case, I went to write the exam, and there were about 1,000, over 1,000 candidates writing the exam for 10 positions. And this was countrywide candidates who were writing for 10 positions. And I went to write the exam, and I made my supplication known before the Lord.
Amen.
And every single thing that I was not qualified for there, like, for example, driver's license, I didn't have one. And I said, Father, thank you in Jesus' name. I am bringing this supplication before you.
Yes.
And I made my request known before the Lord in terms of that.
Wow.
And I went to write the exam. I even took an ex-colleague with me. I'm like, hey, look here, let's go. And I always was that person, like, you want to come? Come along, you know. Come to church. Come here, you know,
of course.
Type stuff. So I took this person with me, and then I ended up being shortlisted. And then I ended up going through the trainee program where I was accepted as the 10 candidates. And then I graduated from that. So that's how I started, really, just from a, you know, I didn't even finish my law degree. So I had this law background, but I hadn't finished my degree, and then I was accepted onto this program. And then they just gave me a time frame in order to, you know, get my studies and in order to get my my driver's license. So my driver's license was even expiring the day before I got my license. So it's literally like that, you know.
Wow.
And
that's
so
amazing.
So I got my driver's license, fairly and properly, and followed the right procedures. No favors were done, and so forth. So, yeah. And so that's how I got into investigations. And when I saw what it was about, you know, I realized, wow, this is actually, my husband actually asked me this question the other day, and I said to him, the reason why I loved investigation so much is because it was working for the state.
Yes.
The Special Investigating Unit is a parastatal, and any funds that were recovered by the state were put back into the state. So, for example, it will be the Department of Social Development.
Yes.
Any funds recovered there would then increase the pension, old age pension money, you know, or the SASSA grants will be increased as a result of the recoveries made by the Special Investigating Unit. So holistically, it is something that was working for the country, you know.
Yes.
that was the highlight for me for my job. So it wouldn't be me just being a random someone who was just doing random investigations for the purpose behind it was more, how can I put it? Yeah. It was more highlighted for me.
Yeah.
The purpose behind why I was enjoying the investigation.
Well, I'm sure there must have been a lot of passion involved there as well. And I like what you said, when there were no special favors when it came to your driver's license. Because we find that in the age that we are in now, the generation that we have now, the young people, all they're interested in is getting that driver's license certificate. And how they get it is irrelevant. And yet it is so important to know that when you receive something that's done right, that's done fairly, then you appreciate it all the more without having to do it in a fraudulent way, in a corrupt way.
Absolutely.
Which actually, it makes you regret it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the Word of God tells us, you know, the Lord says, for I, the Lord, love justice.
Yes,
He loves justice and righteousness and the right thing. You know, we are in right standing because of who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, our actions and what we do will have consequences all the time. So you could be a born-again believer going to heaven, but you are living corruptly and you're going to find yourself in jail, you know, type of thing.
Very true.
If you don't renew your mind in that area, because He's given us the grace to do the right thing. He's given us the grace to overcome that. And grace is always higher than what's required.
Mm.
In other words, the law required, but grace is always higher. There's more grace. There's always more grace.
Yes.
Which means it lifts you up. You can do the right thing always.
Amen.
You are able to do the right thing always.
Absolutely.
And that's always what I say to our young people, you know, in church. Yeah.
You know, Pastor Cindy, you also mentioned, when we talk about all this now, the corruption, the fraud, etc., but you spoke about prison ministry being one of your ministries. Don't you want to share a bit about that? And I know we're going to go in depth when we talk about human trafficking as well. But just on a highlight, what are you doing when it comes to prison ministry?
Yeah, so thank you for that. And, you know, again, that passion came when I was working at the Special Investigating Unit and I was deployed to work for corrections. So it was the DCS audits we were doing, Department of Correctional Services audits we were doing, and we then were instructed to speak to the correctional officials as well as the inmates. And that's where I realized, you know what, all good and well, our understanding is prisons. And I realized, you know what, after 1994, the name changed to the correctional center. And there is place for correction and retribution. And what I love about that is that sometimes, and I say this to a lot of people, sometimes people are just so far gone, even believers, they are so far gone in their habits, and they're not renewing their mind. And there will come a time where you can get quiet.
Yes.
And that's at a correctional facility. What better place to go and be quiet? We understand the challenges that are happening in the correctional facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not oblivious to what's happening there and the gangs and so forth. But what I'm saying for individuals finding themselves there, and I work a lot now with the ladies in the correctional centers, but finding the ladies there, I'm hearing the testimonies of those ladies who are saying, you know what, I did A, B, and C. But this is the first time I could actually sit down and think what really happened. How did I get to this place? And really, and then they come to the knowledge of Jesus, accept the Lord, and then they grow. Like early in the year, I said to one of the ladies, you better start writing on your book. I mean, you better start working on your book, start writing your book. And, you know, but like you were saying, with or your question concerning the correctional facilities, I'm finding that a lot of change is happening in, and I'm speaking specifically about the correctional center in Kimberley. They are amazing, Cheryl. They are absolutely, absolutely amazing. I received some testimonies from those ladies there, and And just in terms of the officials, just the structures that they have in place and, and you know, and how they handle the ladies and equip them, equipping them in the word. Those ladies are ministering. They are preaching.
Oh, praise God.
You know, it is really a complete turnaround. I absolutely love going there.
Now, Pastor Cindy, something that I've noticed and heard about as well that happens so frequently is that when people are released from prison, some of them can't stay in mainstream society for long. And so they continue to do what would cause them to go back into prison. Why is that?
That, you know, that is the is a disconnect with that. And I was speaking to some of the officials at the DCS head office. And what's happening there, we're finding, is there is not enough, there aren't enough arms that are taking the people out and assisting them in terms of discipleship and really walking a path with them. And you can't expect someone who goes to the prison ministry or corrections ministry to be the same person, one person who walks with 20 inmates who are now on parole, who are now out, you know. That will be so difficult. And that's why that gap has to be closed in terms of discipleship, in terms of skills development, in terms of assisting them to reintegrate them into society. Mm-hmm. And it's all good and well to have a white paper and to have it all there, but we need more churches to get involved with that.
Yes.
And to hold hands and to hold hands and to help people be accountable. What I've realized in life as well, and I, like I said to you as well, I work a lot with young people.
Mm.
People want to be led. People want to be led.
Absolutely.
They desire that. And when there's no leadership, it's like we were talking the other day, and I said to someone, you know what, it's like a home where perhaps, say, for example, the parents pass away.
Mm.
For the first month, it will probably be fun because now the children can switch on the geyser and eat all the food and... You know, they can just jump on the couches and on the beds and all of that.
Yeah, where there was discipline, it's gone. Yes.
It's gone, right? Now all that is gone. But after a month, they're going to be crying for that discipline.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
What I'm finding as well, there are some young people that I've spoken so sternly to, but they are the very ones who love me the most. And that's where I realized that. And I'm telling you, Cheryl, like, if I'm talking about sternly, I speak to my own daughters the way I spoke to this young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come back and say, Pastor C, thank you so much for what you said to me. It changed my life, you know?
Wow.
So that people want to be led.
Yes.
And also, if there's no connection with the Department of Correctional Services and the churches who are coming in, because they are many churches going inside, but are they also bridging the gap in terms of the discipleship?
Mm.
You know, because it's one thing going into the correctional center and leading everyone to the Lord, because at that point in time, yes, that guy wants Jesus. He's going to lift up his hand, he's going to raise up his hand, he's going to say this in his prayer, and you're going to be like, yes, I led 1,000 inmates to the Lord.
Mm.
Okay? And then now what? Jesus didn't say that we must go lead people to the Lord. He said, go and make disciples.
Amen.
We have that one instruction from Jesus where he said, go and make disciples.
Yes, absolutely.
The Great Commission is for every believer. You know, the Great Commission is not only for a pastor or someone in the fivefold ministry. Every believer is called to the Great Commission.
Yes.
So we can find, you know, something to do in the correctional center.
Yeah. Now, I must tell you, I had to have a little giggle there when you said that you speak to the young people the way you speak to your own daughters, because you remind me so much of myself. And sometimes my own kids would say to me, but Mom, weren't you a little bit harsh? And I say, no, it's needed, because the way I would want you to approach this and change from this advice is the way I would want that for that person as well. So it's good. It's good that we do that, Pastor Cindy, because the young people of today, and I'm telling you, this generation of young people, God help us, are really lost. And if we don't bring them back into the fold, back into the kingdom, back into to where they need to be, and that is to have that first love with the Lord, then who else?
Absolutely. And the world will swallow them up. That's the challenge that we're having. Because now it's what are the world doing? That it's such fun, and then there's no discipline there, and there's nothing there. Yet it's the discipline and the consistency that will help them achieve their goals.
Amen.
And it will help them to grow. It will help them to stay focused, you know?
Amen. That is powerful. Well, Pastor Cindy, I'm looking forward to hearing about the whole human trafficking that is taking place, because this bothers me so, so much. But I wanted to hear your heart first from a ministry perspective and what you are busy with. But we are going to definitely talk about how you're involved in advocating against human trafficking, and your involvement, and everyone else that is involved in trying to get people that are involved in human trafficking back to the Lord, and the restoration process, and the becoming whole again process. But absolutely, but we're going to talk about that when we come back to our Radio Pulpit family and friends. Please stay tuned. This is Pastor Cindy Postman, who is talking to us all the way from Bloemfontein. Or where are you at the moment, Pastor Cindy?
I'm in East London at the moment.
You're in East London. Well, she's in East London at the moment, so we are privileged to have her share with us. And this is not just going to be a once-off. There are many people involved in the dynamics of how everything is operating. And so we're going to have a short series on human trafficking, because I believe our young people, our elderly people, everybody needs to hear what is going on, and to be made aware, and to practice caution when it comes to human trafficking. We've taken this so much for granted, and it's time that we be empowered and gain the knowledge that we need to understand what is going on in our country. Stay tuned. We're going to go to a song and some adverts, and we'll be right back with Pastor Cindy to continue talking about we'll start talking about human trafficking, and then we will also extend it to a few more Saturdays on the ULG. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
Tune in to God's Grace. RadioPulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.